Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, December 5th. We're here with you, all smoked out, but not with weed, folks.
Well, speak for yourself.
Okay, I am speaking for myself, actually. I did not do anything this
morning. You said we're here.
Yeah, we're here. And there's a lot of smoke around here, as many of you may have heard, or even living there in Ventura County. They've had fires burn nearly 45,000 acres. Mm-hmm. They're saying it's the size of Manhattan.
Wow.
So think about that. In 13 hours, it burned that much.
Yeah.
We have strong winds.
So terrible.
You wake up in the morning, you go outside, and it smells like
smoke. I feel like we can smell it through the windows.
I know. Don't you, though?
Yeah.
I know. I'm feeling it, too.
Don't you smell it?
Yeah, I am.
I smell it.
It's
getting a little cloudy in this room.
It's getting pretty thick outside, folks. We can see through the window.
I smell it through the windows.
I know. I thought I smelled it, too.
I don't know if we're going to be able to do recording here.
No, we'll be fine. The smoke's not coming in. It's just a smell. Okay. But no, I mean, these are like hermetically sealed windows. I don't know how it's getting here, but
maybe the vents.
But whatever. The smoke is getting close here. We can see pretty thick smoke in the background, and then some of it is flowing in here. And
you smell it?
Yeah.
And my eyes are getting dry.
Really?
Yeah. I have contacts in.
Wow. How can it come in?
I don't know.
Wow.
I mean, if you have vents, maybe. I don't know. It could.
Yeah, maybe in. Through the vents, the air conditioning vents.
Yeah.
Who knows? Wow. So at any rate, bad situation for Southern California. Many people have evacuated, leaving everything behind. Many people in the dark. I guess some transformers exploded and shit from the heat. So our hearts go out to the firemen who are fighting this. I can't believe human beings actually can be in that smoke and heat and actually do this. So, and put their lives on the line, you know. So kudos to the firefighters. And it seems like you can't get away from disaster. Everywhere you go, there's something, you know. And here you have hurricanes, earthquakes, fires. What else are we going to get? I hope nothing.
Right?
Yeah. So how you doing, Rachel?
Oh, you know, I had a crazy, I mean, it wasn't crazy, but last night, I can't tell if I'm smart or if I'm crazy, but last night I went and I got up on potluck at the Comedy Store, and as a comic, it's a good thing to be put up at potluck. Like, this is like the Comedy Store open mic, and like, it's hundreds of people sign up, and they only pick like 40 people, I think, and it's just nerve-wracking because it's in their OR room in the Comedy Store, which is like the hardest room to get laughs in the country.
Oh, really?
And
why?
I've never performed.
The audience is
well, potluck is okay. So like, typically in open mics and around the country, like you might have you typically have an audience. Like people come watch open mics, right? But in LA, it's not like it's a thing because everything's an open mic. You know what I mean? Like right. People come see shows because the talent is everywhere. So it's kind of different. But here at the Comedy Store, it's like if you get put up on potluck, you have to do well. It's like the biggest people are going to see you fail. Mm. And just like your peers and you know, it's like, plus like comics are the most judgmental people to each other.
Yeah. Right.
So like, you know, I went last week, but I didn't write my name legibly. So obviously I'm not going to get called up. And the Comedy Store is just like, so it's intimidating as it should be because, you know, like it's a place where the best comedians around the entire world, that's where you want to be as a comic.
Yeah,
you know, if
yeah.
you really want to do stand-up comedy, you want to be at the Comedy Store, at the Improv, and at Laugh Factory. But
right.
typically, like, the Comedy Store is the best. So, I got put up. I was second, which is horrifying as a comic. You don't want to go second. You don't. In the beginning, it's like you put the first people up to just kind of get them out of the way, or if you've never
that's
seen
true.
Them, so whatever.
Warm it
and,
up.
So they, you sign up at 6 and they put the list out at 6:45. And so like you're waiting 45 minutes and you know, you're standing around all of these people and it's just like a ton of comics, right? And they're mainly guys. And they put the list out. I see my name a second, but I like didn't want to get close to the list because I could hear people be like, who the fuck is Rachel Wolfson? Like mainly guys. And like one guy turned to me, this like male comic, he turns to me, he's like, have you even ever been here before? And I'm like, dude, get out. You're like, whatever, you know,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
But it's just, what are you going to do? Like, one, I'm a female. Two, you know,
that's so mean, I'm
That's what it is, though. Yeah. You just have to put up with it. And I have thick skin. I can't, you know, nothing. No one can say anything to me that I haven't already thought to myself because I'm my own worst enemy, or I read about myself on a YouTube comment before, you know, like I can handle it. Like, hit me, you know?
Yeah.
So I was just like, it's so funny because you get these, some people just, they might show up every week and just never get put up, you know?
Really?
And I can only imagine, you know, and what a time it is to really be a female comic. Cause it is, it's, you know, the ball's really in our court. So yeah, I go second and it's 3 minutes. So that's what people come every week for, is fucking 3 minutes.
Wow.
And you know how hard it is to like be funny in 3 minutes? It's really fucking hard because you're like, what jokes do I do? You know, you got to do well. This isn't the time to try out new stuff. This is like, here I am. Here's what I got. You know, bam. So the first guy didn't take it seriously. I get up and I'm like, I don't even know. You know, I don't even know what to do with this. I got laughs, but it was just like all the door guys were in the back watching me. And it's just so nerve wracking because like everyone's judging you. And, you know, like I get off stage and my friend was like, who's the mentor to me. And she's also, you met Vanessa, and she's very like well liked at the Comedy Store and she's performed on all the shows and stuff. And she's like, before I go up, she's like, just be prepared. You know, you're just not going to get laughs. Like, you're, you know, because it's not that they don't want to laugh. It's like almost like a rite of passage. Like they want to see if you're going to break, if you can handle the pressure of just the uncomfortableness of the thick air, because you're not going to have great shows every time. And also they want to see what you got. So whatever, I did my intro, I did my dispensary joke, I did my Chinese food joke, and I ended on OJ Simpson.
Oh, really?
So I got laughs. It was horrifying, and I'm glad I got it over with. So that's my comedy.
Well,
comic
you see, that
story.
Takes a lot of courage. You know, I salute you for that. Not
so
just anybody
just like,
can do that.
So nerve wracking, but whatever. I'm just like, I don't care. You know, I'm just gonna do what I want, and like, people are gonna love me. I'm gonna make them. You know, they're gonna do it.
There you go, folks. We do have a guest in the studio. She'll be joining us in just a moment. A couple things, since we did talk about marijuana quite a bit here, there's a couple things I wanted to say. First of all, they're saying that cigarette smokers, are 7 times more likely to use marijuana daily. Now, I think it's the other way around. I don't know. I mean, I've been a smoker of both, not very proud, but at the same time,
I don't think so. I don't know many cigarette smokers.
Well,
I feel like it's more like what you were saying. If you smoke cigarettes, you're more likely to smoke other things. There are people, like, I know tons of people who smoke weed and would never touch a cigarette. Like,
interesting. For me, the association is like
oral fixation.
Yeah. Well, actually, after I smoke weed, I have to have a cigarette. You know, it's an association in your mind. Mm. You know, and but I mean, it's not surprising because cigarette smokers are risk takers. Right? And that's what you usually do with, you experiment with things.
I wouldn't say, they're risking their lives for...
It's risky behavior,
Yeah.
So you figure, okay, I'll do drugs too, you know?
Yeah. But it's not, I don't think it's true. I think what you were saying before, I think it's more likely if you're a cigarette smoker, you're more likely to smoke other, like you said.
Right.
But smoking weed... Sometimes people are smoking weed because they are getting, they got the cancer from the smoking cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
Or sometimes, you know, I don't know a lot of, some like I know a lot of, like I said, they just would never smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like,
that's,
it's a
very
health
interesting
thing.
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting.
It's kind of funny because I think the way that weed has, it's all about how it's been kind of marketed towards us.
Right.
And it's been marketed as this like drug. It's on the same level federally as like heroin, you know? So really what I have found is our community is so much based in wellness and health.
Right.
Like you'll find a lot of people who are vegan and, or they're struggling from like a health condition. That's why they're using this plant, not because, you know, they're not like, the typical drug user. Like, it's so funny to me to hear for a long time that people got away with marketing weed as a gateway drug because it's really an exit drug. And they're it is, because one, they're finding it, they're a way, they're treating people with opioid addiction with cannabis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like it's, I know, I've never had the desire, and I know a lot of other cannabis smokers who don't go on to using the hard drugs because why would they? They like weed, you
exactly,
know?
Exactly, like me, yeah. Exactly. I don't care for anything else.
It's but just a, it's just what the propaganda, it's just the, I mean, look at, who knows how long we've been consuming fake news, mm-hmm. you know? Who knows? Who knows what kind of, like, propaganda is fake news. That's right. Just, you know, and the war on drugs, I mean, that was just a terrible campaign that didn't work. And I mean, that's just we just didn't have the internet back then to check the statistics of, you know, the facts of the information, you know.
Yeah, so they're saying the relationship between cigarettes and weed is very strong among people between 12 and 17. So these are the formative years, and I mean, you know, you engage in risky behavior, and you're probably likely to do other things too. But at any rate, and I wanted to tell you, we were talking about the edibles and how they're becoming regulated. And you know what I found? I found a thing called magical butter, which is a device that lets you actually make butter.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that. I'm going to make my own.
Yeah.
And the hell with everybody else. So I'll report back on how it works and how good it is and stuff. You know, maybe I'll be able to save some money and also enjoy more, like, fresh ingredients.
It's getting cloudy in here.
It is?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Can you tell?
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm.
God. It's pretty crazy.
I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, I smell a little bit, but that's about it. If it gets smoky, we'll leave. But at any rate, okay, so let's bring in our guest right now who's sitting here patiently. And we're going to be joined by Anna Sadowska. Welcome to the show, Anna.
Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you for joining us. We met your co-hosting Ilona's show. Ilona Europa has a show here Mondays at 7 at 6, and you've been co-hosting with her.
Yes.
And you guys talk about Polish culture and things like that, right?
We talk about Polish culture a lot, and we talk about primarily real estate and mortgage business, which is my company. But it's really fun to be on the show with her, and we throw in other things, my book, my life. I have an identical twin.
Really?
Which she seems to be fascinated about. And
we just had an identical twin yesterday in here.
Yeah,
isn't that interesting? So tell us a little bit about being a twin. What's it like? Did you have to fight for your identity at a certain point? Or?
No, I never felt that way. We are identical twins. Uh-huh. And with identical twins, it's a little bit different than fraternal twins.
Yeah.
You really are each other's best friends.
Really?
Hardly ever we had a situation where you had to fight for your own identity. It's almost the opposite. I feel like I would have to fight for my identity if I was not a twin.
Really?
Because I wouldn't know how to live.
That's all you
know.
Would.
So
you
I don't
would.
Have a buddy.
See, do you feel like it's your other half? I mean, do you feel like you complete each other?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely. And even though she lives in a different town now, she's in Chicago, and we've been separated for about 17 years now, she's still my best friend, and she's still someone that understands me the most to a cellular level.
Yeah, very nice. So
what does she do?
She's in banking as well.
Interesting.
She's in commercial business banking.
Oh, wow.
And I'm in residential. So nice. Very similar.
Yeah. Interest. How did you get into real estate? What attracted you to it?
Actually, she got us our first interview when we were 19. She was really gutsy. She went to this company, staffing company, and we both happened to get a job with a lending institution at the time. And it started from originating automobile loans for dealerships to second mortgages to mortgages, and working at the bank primarily as a loan officer.
Right.
And that has a lot to do with, obviously, real estate. It's kind of all the same. much different.
Did that like interest you in the beginning, or did you just take it because that?
It always did.
Really?
It really always did. It was numbers. It was helping people get qualified for the car loan and investigating their application and verifying their employment. And this is back in the days before cell phones and internets. Everything was manual.
Yeah.
And then we went on, both of us went on to graduate and promote to be underwriters. And that was even more tedious. But unless you start from the bottom and learn actually that old school way, you may never understand exactly how finance and mortgage loans work.
That's true. Yeah,
we got to learn all the way from.
Yeah, good for you. Because I find it boring, but thank goodness for people like you that pick up the slack there. You know, but I used to work with numbers a lot. You know, but I don't know. And that's another thing. Real estate never really interested me, and that's probably why I'm not rich. You know, if it interested me, I would have some real estate. But it works, right? I mean, so you started with lending and everything. How did it end up in real estate? So you do residential now, right?
I do residential real estate, and I still do mortgage origination. So I retained my clients from the mortgage industry and transitioned some of them to be my real estate clients as well. As I said, it all goes together.
Right.
So why not? It's just another branch.
Right.
Of what you're already doing.
Yeah.
And it's a variety, because you're right. Some of the mortgage stuff can be really boring.
Yeah, mundane, right? Yeah. But I guess selling homes, buying homes is exciting, right? There's a lot of...
For me, it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can see where it would be. You know, I mean, it's, you know, homes are really part of our lives. You know, you see nice homes and everything. And
it's very emotional for a lot of people.
Really?
Some of them only buy and sell once in their life. And
right.
It's the biggest expense one can have in certain households. So it's not just income, money, job. It's you're there with them, with the family, going from A to Z. And some may not like that fact that you have to kind of get emotional with them, and
it's very
personal, but I do, because it just doesn't feel like work sometimes.
Oh, nice.
But it is rewarding.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll continue talking about real estate in a little bit, because I'm curious about some things. I wanted to ask you, so you grew up, you were born and raised in Poland, right?
Yes.
And what city?
I was born in Lodz. City of Lodz in Poland.
Yeah, never heard of it, but you know, what do I know about
Poland? We were only
Poland?
Born there because our mom, believe it or not, back in now I'm gonna tell everybody my age, back
you
in 1973, she didn't know she had twins until the day of.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
Wow.
What a surprise.
What a surprise. Oh, my gosh. And she was alone. My father was not around. He traveled a lot. She had to be transported to the city because they found out she was having twins. And in the little city where we live, they weren't prepared.
They couldn't handle twins, huh? Wow.
I think we were terror from the beginning.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa.
Horrible.
So did you guys end up moving later from there? Or
we were just only born in that town, and then came back to our little town of Tarnobrzeg in Poland. And our father's from Warsaw, he which is the capital. He ended up moving to this little town of Tarnobrzeg for my mom.
Oh, really? So did he meet her in the big city, and then
he met her in a small city
because
he was an electrician, and he traveled for work.
Oh, I see. Okay,
he happened to be in that little town, and they met at a club. He was 2 years older, and he lied to her, and blah, blah. And she said she liked him because he was tall, and she liked his shoes. He had nice shoes on.
The funny things that attract people, you know?
Go figure,
you know?
Yeah.
Do you have any other siblings other than you two?
We do have a younger sister. She's 6 years younger.
Oh, okay. And, where's she? Is she in America, too?
She's in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
My whole family's in
so
Chicago.
So your whole family moved here. Well, at what point did you guys move? Did you decide, did you move with the family or afterwards when you were older?
Our dad emigrated in 1986 by himself, of course, looking for a better life. He created his business here. He learned English and became an electrician. But it took us another 4 years as a family to be all joined together. So it was tough.
It was hard for us, right?
It was hard on my mom. But eventually in 1989, we all reunited and started our life again in Chicago.
Right, right.
And I,
wow. That's so, yeah, so your dad was away for a long period of time.
He was away for a long time, off yeah. and on, actually all my life.
Yeah, yeah. You see, I was like that too, but it was me who left, not my father. So I came here, and I was here 5 years. At the age of 16, I came here. So,
me too. I was 16.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, so, but I came here on my own, and my family only joined me 5 years later. So I know what it's like being
God
away from
bless
the family.
You. That's hard.
And
at
back
that age.
Then, you know, we didn't have internet. We didn't have cell phones. So all you did is write letters or call on the phone, like for 3 minutes, because it was so expensive.
So expensive, yes,
right?
I remember. Yes. Wow, you were alone. That's amazing.
Right?
I give you credit.
Yeah,
I had
well,
my twin and I had my family.
Yeah, yeah,
How
yeah.
How did you do that?
Well, my dad said that I should be, that I should come here and then they would join me and stuff. So that was his grand plan to come to America. So I was 1 foot in the door.
Well, you've done really well for yourself, Sam.
I guess I have. Yeah, yeah. I've been here 40 years. Come on. But, yeah, I love this country. I love it here. You know, it's
Me
amazing.
Me too.
Do you go back ever to Poland to visit?
I do. I do go back maybe every 2-3 years, sometimes every year. Sometimes
yeah.
I wait 5 or 6 years. It all depends. But
yeah.
me and my sister, when we were 19 or 18, we had to go back to get our status with immigration and all the visas and citizenship restarted. So we
yeah.
had to go back as a family at, as I said, 18 or 19 years old. And we just had so much fun going back in those years because the dollar value was so great.
Really?
You could have
so you
20
could buy
bucks
a lot of things.
And exchange it for the Polish currency and just make the whole city party with you.
Yeah, right.
For a couple of days.
Well, I hear Poland is beautiful. You know, the winters are rough there, though, right? I mean, very snowy, very cold and stuff. In
Not as bad as Chicago, but
really?
It is a four-season place and they do get it does get cold.
Yeah.
But it's not windy. Not as windy as Chicago or New York.
Yeah.
So it's pretty. If someone likes the four seasons, it's not a bad place to be. Northern Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of history for Poland, right?
I mean, lots of history.
Poland was invaded by the Nazis. You know, that was the first move and stuff. And that was like, and they took over and stuff. There's a lot of bad memories there, right?
There's
a
lot of
you have
of
the
history.
Ghettos and the concentration camps and everything. And that country really was, when it was surprised with the attack by the Nazis, it was pretty much a surprise. You know, nobody knew they were going to do it so fast. You know, so they overtook the country and stuff. But now it's back and modern and flourishing and everything,
it
right?
It is. I actually recommend.
How's tourism
visit?
There? Is it pretty strong there?
It's like Prague used to be, you know, people
right.
used to go to Prague to visit because it was known to be the nicest city in the Eastern Europe to visit.
Really?
Poland's like that right now as well. Maybe still a little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
So you get you have an access to the Baltic Sea in the north. You can go down south to the mountains. You have big cities like Warsaw, very metropolitan. And then you have Krakow, that's old town, really pretty, like Prague. With the river going all across the country. So almost you go to any city in Poland, you see the river. It's funny.
Oh, really?
But it is
cool.
A big, big country.
Yeah, yeah,
for
yeah.
Eastern
it's
Europe.
Huge.
Yeah, you can go to different cities and just feel like you're in a completely different
right.
part with a little different accent and different culture and different foods that they eat and different clothes that they wear. And we have the Highlanders in the south. So it's a great country to visit, too, because the people are really nice and friendly. We love foreigners.
Right. So you guys came in 89, did you say you came back?
89.
So that's when the communism fell in Europe, right? But,
exactly.
But you lived through the communist regime, right?
Yeah, we grew up in communism.
What was that like? Do you remember any of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were 16.
I mean, did you guys feel it? Did you understand that you're in a country that's...
No, not at the time.
No, right?
No, no.
Just
it was what it was.
What it is.
You
got to
do what they tell you to do. And we were on the swimming team, a professional swimming team, for 10 years.
Both
me
of you?
And my sister, yes.
Ah.
So we had a regime like this. You go to church at 5 a.m. You go to swimming practice at 7 a.m. You go to school at 8. You go to another swimming practice at 5, and oh, then you go home and study, and that's it. That's
wow.
all you do. That's
what a
all
full
we knew.
Life, huh? You didn't have time to play, did you?
Not so much, no. We found time after we moved to Chicago. That was like a reward for all those years.
Yeah.
But we didn't know, to answer your question back to did you know. No, we didn't know because people were happy, believe it or not. You know,
yeah,
with
yeah.
the circumstances we had, we didn't know any better. So, like, on the weekends, our parents, aunts, and uncles, they would always get together and have fun.
Yeah.
They would have parties, and you would never feel that there's a repression of any sort.
Wow, very interesting, you know, because I would... it's just like, you know, with the North Koreans, with the Chinese, with the people in the oppressed countries that don't know any better, you know. So for them, that's normal.
Yeah, I mean, but it didn't seem so bad. I mean, they had her in swim team, and she got to go to school and be
right.
in church. And on the weekend, she got to be with her family. That sounds way better than, like, North Korea or China. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a routine. I mean, as long as it's not, like, slave labor, it seemed as if it was enriching your lives for the future. I mean, and like you said, it seems as if they, like, people were happy. There's like, I don't, if that works for that society, who's to say it's wrong, right? But do I think it works for every society? Probably not, you know, but it doesn't seem so bad, you know. Maybe what's wrong with structure and
bit
more.
But didn't you have, like, secret police and all that stuff? And isn't there, like, restrictions on travel and all this stuff?
Well,
when
there
it
was some late 1982 for a year. There was something that was, it was like an internal war.
Really?
And we had to, we were a little bit scared. But going back to what you said, Rachel, is yes, I appreciate the way I grew
you
up.
Had
because
I normal childhood.
I was pushed to beyond my limits, to something I didn't know I had.
Because honestly, as an American, I mean, do I think that kind of government control or whatever would work in America? I don't know. Maybe certain pockets of America it would work. Maybe it wouldn't. It seems more of a community-based approach to a society where everyone kind of helps everyone. I don't see the harm in that, but I do see why people don't necessarily like that. But I don't, it seems as if it was for the better good of everyone, you know?
And the education system was much higher too.
Right.
Higher
because
level.
That, like, as a child, like, I feel like kids kind of need structure, but they also need time to, like, the weekends where they can be, you know. I think there's a certain discipline that Americans lack for the most part, because when we meet people from other countries, we're like, they're so much more disciplined and smarter, it seems, because they had no other option, you know, to it was, you had to do this. And you know, who's to say that's wrong?
Yeah. Well, you also, she was young at the time, you know, so it doesn't, you're not really aware of all that stuff. But when you're an adult, you have an oppressive regime, you don't have freedom.
But I think that, but there might be, like, think about children in South Korea or North Korea, like, or in certain Middle Eastern countries. I think some of them have that, they're, like, fearful. I don't know if, like, Polish children have that underlying fear that, you know, I think it's more just like, you have to listen because this is good for you, you know.
And
they see people are successful and they're happy, you know, like most people in these other countries where that happens aren't happy, you know, or who knows, but
no, you seem to know a lot about what's going on there.
I don't know, I just I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like to say, because Sam is very pro-capitalism, and I think that capitalism isn't bad, but I don't think we live in a capitalistic society in America. We live in an oligarch. I don't know if that's two different types of things, but it's not the capitalistic society that it once was. I think it's different, and I think that, you know, a little bit, if we learn from other countries and, like, you know, the Netherlands or in Poland and places where people seem generally happy, you know, like, healthcare
with
is
very
good.
Little.
The government with very little, and the government takes care of them because the people put so much trust in the government to do the right thing. And I think that if you have people in office who really are good and really are there for the interest of the people, there's nothing wrong with entrusting them to make the decisions. Because look at what happens when we put decisions into our own basic hands for a lot of stuff. We don't know what we're doing. You know, we're walking around with our heads cut off. So, but I think the problem is in this country, the people with the most power in the government are for the better of the people. And that's the difference between the different types of governments. So
yeah.
I think that's why, you know, we've put it, socialism and communism has put a bad taste in our mouth. One, because of propaganda that was given to us from other countries. Who's to say that wasn't fake news? It's just what we've been told. Right. You don't do communism. You don't do socialism. But maybe it didn't work for that country. But look at Poland. I mean,
right.
Post, you know, the Second World War. I don't know.
And I can add that Polish people are solid.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that we were solid.
I never hear any bad stories from Poland after, you know, like since, you know, I never hear Poland's such a terrible place to go.
No, you know, but
I'm saying after, you know, you never hear, I mean, you hear about bad things in so many other countries, but Poland's like, you know, the nice country over here, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, and they're very, very nice. As I said earlier, we love foreigners and anybody yeah. that comes to our country that's not Polish or has dark skin and dark eyes, we're like, ah.
Right.
What language do you speak?
Right.
Can we speak sign language?
That's cool. I mean, it's refreshing to hear some countries just, you know,
we have our arms open.
You have your shit together, it seems. For the most, it's not like they're perfect. No country is perfect, but if the majority of your population is doing well and thriving and people...
Unpredictable,
you know, yeah.
which is important. Like going back to living in America, it's very unpredictable.
It's
so
true.
Many different cultures, so many different religions. So we have to have some kind of a structure. And it's very difficult to please everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get pick your choice and stick with your opinion and stick with your values and hopefully learn from your parents or maybe even go and live in another country to see what it's like.
Yeah, that's right. True.
Have you lived in any other countries other than the States?
No, just here and there.
Just here, huh?
Holland.
Do you travel in the country here?
I do travel quite a bit.
Yeah?
In the country and the world.
Oh, nice. So is that like a business, pleasure, both?
Most of it is pleasure, but I do go travel to Chicago for work. I actually have clients there as well.
What were some of your favorite destinations when you traveled?
In the country or in
the
world?
No, in the world.
Oh, my gosh. Tahiti was one
really?
Of the
oh.
my favorite places I visited. I've been all over the Orient, like Australia and Bali and Japan.
Whoa.
And
what's
China.
Japan like? Is it nice?
Japan is very nice.
Yeah.
I happened to be so lucky to get invited to a wedding in Japan.
Oh my gosh, I hear only cool things about Japan.
Yeah.
Like everyone, I feel like you would love Japan. It's
yeah,
like,
no,
it's like
I'm
in the
dying
future.
To go. I'm dying to go. Yeah.
What do you tell me about Japan?
I went there during cherry blossom season.
Ooh,
too. So
beautiful.
All the flowers were blossoming in March, in the spring.
Uh-huh.
And it's very clean. It's not congested by cars or people.
Right.
So you don't feel like, especially comparing to LA, you don't even feel like you're in Asia, because mostly anywhere else you go in Asia, it's so crowded with people and cars
right.
and pollution.
And this is more Western style,
the
right?
more Western style, and again, super clean and beautiful girls, really pleasant. And they don't speak English.
No English,
well,
right?
They try. And wonderful food, wonderful, great sushi. But the bride that was getting married there was my friend's friend, and she was from there, and she met an American man in here in LA, but she wanted to go back and get married in Japan. So she invited about 30 of us from here, and she was the best host on top
really?
Of having her own shit, getting married and
yeah.
being busy with that. She took us around to Kyoto and Shizuoka, and she showed us Japan like a local would.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of shrines and history, and we even got to go and get dressed up as geishas.
That's so cool.
Oh, my God.
Take pictures. I think I was the ugliest geisha alive
no.
ever, yes, because geishas have square face, small eyes, and a small nose. And here I am. I got long face, big eyes, big nose. You should see
that's
the pictures.
That's funny, right? Wow.
Yeah.
But I, you know what I did notice about Japanese, Chinese people? Many of them have, like, crooked teeth. Is that correct?
Oh,
did
yeah.
you notice that?
You're so
I wonder
funny.
Why that is. You know?
I don't think they do the. It's not popular to do braces.
Braces and stuff, but I mean, but here in this society, we don't have that much going on with teeth. You know, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. But I noticed that.
And yeah, they
I don't
do.
Know why that
and
is,
that sometimes
you know?
They have bad breath too. But
really?
I don't have an answer for that.
Yeah, well, maybe not all of them. Don't let that keep you from going to Japan, folks. You know, the bad breath, maybe not on everybody, you know. That's funny. So, so you grew up in Chicago?
I spent 12 years in Chicago, and I moved here in 2001.
Did you go to college?
We did go to two-year college
uh-huh.
in Chicago.
In Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So so you started your career there. What made you move to L.A.?
Well, actually, the bank. We came here with my sisters and friends just on a girls' trip, and I was working at a Wells Fargo bank at the time, and I basically noticed one on every corner. And my sister said, you know, if I wasn't married, I would move here. And I said, oh, thanks, sister. You go and be married. I see Wells Fargo on every corner. I'm going to go and ask for transfer. Thanks for the idea. And I did it. Wow. In 3 weeks, I asked my boss for a transfer, and they needed somebody in Culver City. And they gave me 3 weeks to move, and I just
nice.
Did it. I left everybody behind.
Really? Had you been in L.A. before that? Did you know what
no.
you were moving to?
No.
No,
that was
huh?
the only
so
trip.
Why L.A.? What made you decide
the weather.
To come here?
Really? Primarily, I loved the weather. Yeah. It's nice and dry and doesn't rain. You know, I came from dark four season, you know, northern Europe to right. crazy windy Chicago with four different seasons in one day.
Oh, God.
To a luxury of knowing that a rain or snow or wind will not ruin any day for me here in Los Angeles.
God, sometimes too much. We need some rain here, for crying out loud. We have the
especially
same weather
today.
Every day. Yeah, same weather every day. It's clearing up a little bit over there. But look, I can see the smoke actually blowing from there, like
oh,
actually
yeah.
originating mm-hmm. there. Wow, that's mm-hmm. pretty close, man.
Yeah.
Wow. All the skies are gray this morning. I mean, we have blue, but... This sun out, but a lot of gray.
It looks like
the
sky's been flipped upside down.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like an eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The shadows look different.
Wow. So so you were in banking and everything, and then you decided to go into real estate, or were you doing that already with your
Well, what happened is in 2008 and 2009 when everything crashed, so did I. There was no business in mortgage. Nobody was originating or refinancing mortgages because they couldn't qualify.
Right.
So I had to look for other alternatives, and I was unemployed for a couple of years at
wow.
that time.
Did you watch that movie? Is it The Big Short? Is
yes,
that the one?
Yes,
it's,
yes.
Uh-huh. Have you watched that movie?
No,
it's
no,
so fascinating to learn about that time because I feel like it happened in like 2004. When was
I
the housing?
That was 2008.
So I was 2005. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I remember I was graduating from high school 2005. See, that ages me, right?
Oh wow!
And but I remember because I was a freshman in high school when 9/11 happened, and I just remember hearing about how tough my generation is going to have, blah blah blah, jobs, housing, and like, but it was like. Out of nowhere, I think that's when I started to hear, like, going into high, like, finishing up high school and college, like, how tough it was going to be for our generation. And when you're in high school and college, you're like, what does that even mean? I'm just trying to figure out what major do I even want to make this class at 11 a.m. But, and then, like, we just, like, would watch the news, and I don't think my generation understood at the time that we weren't going to have the same opportunities. Like, for me, my parents at my age already were married and were having kids.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I just think that I watched the movie, like The Big Short and kind of like Wolf of Wall Street, and it tells you about that time of what really happened. And because we didn't learn, I didn't learn in high school like anything about mortgage. You don't learn that shit. You either learn it from your parents, or you learn it, you know, when you get out of college or around that time, because that generation learned it in their mid-20s, you know, because they were purchasing houses by that time. Right. And I think my generation, like, we're just clueless because we're not buying houses in our mid-20s anymore. Right. We're buying houses later in life because the market's different, right?
Right.
So what do you think about that? That whole housing market, you know, because weren't they, what I understand, because I don't know much about, you know, real estate or whatever numbers, because it seems intimidating, but they were giving out loans to people left and right, and they couldn't.
They were originating these mortgages. They wanted
because Vegas was the biggest, was the fastest growing city in the country during this time, up until a few years ago when the market crashed.
And it took the biggest dump as well.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so keep going.
So the banking industry, the feds decided to originate way too many mortgages for a lot of borrowers that didn't qualify, and that's the politics within its own
right sector. And that's the thing, it's like someone like me back in the, you know, at that time, if I was at that age, I could have gotten a loan for a house, you know.
Right.
Nobody knew, though. The homeowner, the borrowers didn't know. Mm-hmm. They just, okay, I can get qualified for a loan, sure, I'm gonna own a home,
right,
with my mortgage.
But the people on the
affordable.
Other side knew. There were people who knew that this was gonna
of course.
Be yeah that's the
yes,
fucked up
of course it was the setup. And there's a bubble in our country approximately every 10 years, so you have the up and the down, and it's like a snake, but it always goes up. So
goes up, huh?
Good.
So real estate is always good investment, right?
Always a good investment, in my opinion. It's always going to be up, and it's going to have its cycles. But
in America, do you ever really own something if you keep paying property taxes on it? You know, is it like in other countries?
It's not the property tax,
or what
is the mortgage?
Well, when you pay, but when you pay off your mortgage, you're still paying a property tax, aren't you?
Paying property tax.
So that's almost like you're paying a rent to the government. You don't really. Whereas in other countries, there's not necessarily a property tax. When you own something, and that's it. You just
no, not with houses and stuff.
Right.
Pretty much, you have to pay.
That's what I'm saying. Because even when you own something, you're still paying the government, like rent, basically.
Right, right.
You don't even if you own the land.
Right.
You know?
It's just not as much in other countries,
right?
Yeah,
but taxes are taxes, you know. But
expensive.
But yeah, you don't really own anything until you pay it off, you know. I mean,
even
that's
then,
pretty clear.
People
say like my car. Well, it's not your car. Try to pay two payments
because,
we'll
because like let's say you own a house or something,
right,
or and it's paid off. And then when you die, it goes to you, whoever.
Right.
They assume the property tax on that, right?
Yeah.
That's why people sell a lot of shit.
Taxes.
That's what I'm saying. You know?
Well, but somebody's got to pay taxes, you know? I mean, where are they going to get all that money?
But
it's
like this everywhere,
it's
Rachel.
It's a fact of life.
In this country, it's quite a lot. But we also make more money.
Yeah.
So it's relevant.
A lot of things cost more
here,
but a lot of things are cheaper here than anywhere else, you know? Like doctors, dentists are very expensive here compared to the rest of the world. But when you want to buy a car, you want to buy, you know, clothes, electronics, anything.
Cheap. Parking in LA is really affordable.
Compared to,
nails,
or even just having a car, like how they do cars in Brazil. It's like a lottery, isn't it? Like
really?
It's like crazy.
Not
the
everybody
process.
Can get one.
It's crazy the process in which my ex was Brazilian, and he like was telling me like how expensive it is to have even just like a shit car.
Yeah.
And then it's just like a lot. It's just, I was like, this is too, no wonder, no, you know, just.
It's almost like you have to have a food stamp for it, right?
Something. I was like, who decided this? This is a terrible idea.
Well, that's why I love it here. You know, we have everything. We're joined by Anna Sadowska. Your company's Crisana Luxury Real Estate,
yes,
right?
Crisana Luxury Real Estate.
Okay. And where are you guys located? You serve all of LA area, right?
I serve all of Los Angeles area, Orange County. I do a lot of business in the desert, Riverside County, and anywhere else, Ventura.
Yeah. How do you get clients? Is it mostly referrals, or how does the real estate really gain clients?
Good question. In my business, it is, I would say, 90% referrals. Wow. Because I have been doing it for a really long time.
Right. So you got to be there for a while for people to know you, right?
Yes. I wouldn't even recommend anyone to just get up from their previous job that's not industry related and go get a license and think they're going to do well. It's really, really hard. It's almost like trying to be an actor. Mm-hmm. And then the reason is that
there's a long line, right, for success.
It's not that hard to get a license. You know, it's 6 months, you get a license and you can do it. But if you don't have a database, it's going to be really hard.
Yeah.
What makes a database, in a sense of, if you don't have access to a bunch of people who want to buy houses, then you need to rely on another source of income until you constantly have
any
a database.
Any kind of database, right. Preferably a database of people that already know you. So clients that you have done some kind of business with. In my case, it was the mortgage, right? Or automobile loans back in the days. So I had my database with me for many, many years. You know, people that have known me for being in the industry. And again, mortgage and real estate kind of go together.
Right.
If you can help somebody qualify for a loan, you can help them find a house. It's not that hard as long as you have a license for it. So the client in this industry is everything.
Yeah. Now, you probably want to get qualified before you start even looking for a house, right?
Absolutely.
You need to know how much you can get and all that stuff, right? I mean, what's the point in going through the whole purchase and then you can't afford, you can't get through?
As someone, like, okay, I'm 30, but if I wanted to purchase a house at this point in my life financially, I would have to go get a loan, right?
Right.
I wouldn't qualify for a loan based off my income. So I would then need a co-signer.
Right.
Like my parents.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To prove that they
can afford
can help me.
So
that seems to be more of like, unless it's like international money, I feel like, is that kind of, it seems to be the trend. I mean, I look at people my age getting houses and it's like, okay.
Your parents are helping.
Probably with down payments too.
Right. Because like no one in their right mind after what happened would give someone like me who they were giving, you know, which even if that happened, they could still give it to me and like I would still have to, you know, I would be a good candidate for it because I have that backbone of support.
Right.
Not that they would ever agree to help me get a house right now, but I'm just, you know, I'm just being real. I'm being honest. Like I don't, you know, I work hard, but I just don't financially have that income. So I would need something like that, right? And that's just kind of like the reality for today's market.
Need income, you need good credit, and you need a down payment. These are the three key things to get qualified. And you can get qualified with as little as 3.5% down for a mortgage.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, okay, so I realistically within the next 5 years would like to move into it's not going to be a house. It's going to be a condo. It's going to be a two. But I ideally would want a 2-bedroom condo. But I look around this area and like what in the areas that I would want to live in, and it's $500,000 at least. So starting 2-bedroom condos in the areas that I would want to live in is going to be a minimum $500,000, right? Looking at even the ones that aren't even fixed up, like that's without updating.
Yeah, I mean, 500 is very
people's houses in other places of the country don't even get near that, you know, and they have mansions, you know.
I mean, around here, you can't get much for 500,000 these days, right?
No,
you cannot get
not at all, not in the valley.
You can get a 2-bedroom condo.
Could I find a 2-bedroom condo within the next 5 years in West Hollywood or Studio City at that price? Do you think?
I can tell you, it would be hard. If you want one that's already done and it's ready for you to move in, and it's
because the location's expensive, right?
The locations that you just mentioned,
and then forget about HOA fees. Yeah. Oh my god!
Forget about it. You have to pay it.
Oh my god! It's like having another apartment that you could rent out.
I would recommend to start small. You know, not necessarily go to a place that's really nice and really expensive with those killer HOA fees, but just kind of go 1 degree down or of what would be an
ideal
place.
Do they have 1-bedroom condos?
They do. They have studios as well. They have one bedroom.
But it's
not necessarily like the size, but maybe the location and the condition and the HOA fees.
Yeah.
But is a condo a good investment, like compared to a house or something?
Absolutely.
I think it's always a good investment. I think so, because if you can invest in something like that and then you pay off the mortgage, or if you can like rent it out or whatever, that pays off the mortgage. And then eventually that you could just either rent it out and then you use that rent to whatever, you know.
It's really never really gonna go down. I mean, if we go through a cycle where it's gonna come down a little bit, it's not in the long term, you cannot lose. So if you have good down payment, good mortgage with the low interest rate, and you don't put yourself in, you know, some luxury place where your HOA and your property taxes are eating you up, you can practically never lose. Always rent it out, get a roommate, or ultimately sell.
Right.
That's true, right? Yeah. Yeah.
But real estate's always a good, you know, the fastest growing asset you can have.
That's true, right? And the risk, is not as big as stocks either. Yeah, because real estate is pretty stable. Wow, that's interesting. You know, so you're saying with 3.5%, so it's like if you buy a $500,000 house, $15,000-$17,000 and you're good.
That's right, plus your closing costs, so you can you can have a.
But then your payments would be very high, right?
Your payments are a little high.
Yeah. What would a what would the payment be? $5,000 a month?
No, on the $500,000 purchase, probably about $2,800.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, see, like an apartment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's for a one bedroom or a two bedroom.
Whatever the size would be, we were talking about the price.
You're talking about
range,
the price. For
range,
$500,000.
So like about $500,000. What so whatever you get, that would be the math, right? Of course, the more money down you put, the lower the payment is going to be on a monthly basis. But, you know, I mean, you get your foot into the door, and then 2 years later, you look at it, and it's like $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 equity.
Right.
So it's worth more, and now you have that equity that you can always use for whatever you want. You can buy an investment property, or you can
buy something
use
bigger,
it as income, or go shopping, clothes, whatever you want.
Yeah.
But Anna, you deal with luxury real estate. You deal with very expensive homes, right? Where like Beverly Hills and things like that? Wow. So where do people
get all
this money?
Do they have two-bedroom condos in Beverly Hills?
They do have
$500,000
in Beverly Hills.
Not for $500,000, I don't think. But,
maybe a little bit more than half. Yeah. But you can get one for like $750,000.
At that point, just get a house.
Yeah.
You can get a mansion in Vegas.
That's true.
Oh, a mansion at least for $750,000?
Well, you know what condos, it's the good thing about condos is that you don't have maintenance. Yes, you do have that HOA payment, but you don't have a lot of maintenance like roof and plumbing and water and all that's covered by the HOA.
Right, but you don't have the privacy and the freedom that you do in a house, you know.
Maybe you don't want one when you're 30.
Yeah,
you
that's
be
true,
with
right?
People. You want to have fun. You want to have neighbors. You want to be able to walk to places.
Mm-hmm. That's
you
true,
always
yeah.
You get a house when you're a little older and you have your husband and three kids and a dog.
So now, when people buy houses for millions of dollars, Anna, where the hell do they get all this money?
Foreign investment.
They do.
Hollywood.
They depend,
family.
Right?
Family money.
This is Los Angeles. It
a lot of money here, huh?
All different places.
You see some of these homes, you know, in Palos Verdes.
You're like, who
you know,
lives here?
Pacific Palisades, these homes. You go, my God, these people, you know. I mean, they're just people like me and you. How the hell do they figure out how to make so much money?
Well, they're a little different than you and I because there's a lot of producers and a lot of family
money. No, but they're human beings, you know.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
we have the same opportunities.
Right. But they came from hedge funds and family businesses and entertainment world and music business and, you know, some attorneys and doctors. So it's the capital of the world between here and New York with how much wealth we have.
Right, a lot of money here, huh?
Right, so anywhere you can think of wealth can come from, it's here.
Yeah, right.
And the weather.
And we have, and I haven't figured out any of it, for crying out loud. Million ways to make $1,000,000. I'm still trying to figure it out.
It's never too late.
But I think in real estate is where it comes from,
real estate is one way, for sure.
That's what they say.
Like Trump.
Oh, my God.
But
everything he touches dies.
So you're saying it's a pretty safe investment to get into real estate. It doesn't matter if it's a condo, a house, townhome, whatever.
Yes,
right?
As long as I said, like, as long as you have the good mortgage, the good down payment.
Oh, shit, man, we're totally out of time. We're 4 minutes past. I didn't even realize. Oh. Well, we got to run out of here, folks.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, tell people how they can find you if they want to.
They can find me on chrisannarealestate.com, Facebook, Anna Sadowska, or phone number 323-899-1351.
Sounds good. Anna, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Sorry to be kicking you out of here so quickly. Rachel, thank you.
Always.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.